The reading this morning is from Jude, verses 8 to 13. In the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand. And what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These men are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. Wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever.
Good morning, everyone. Do keep that passage open from Jude 8 to 13, and we'll pray as we come to God's word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is truth. We pray now that you will send your Holy Spirit amongst us, that we may understand it and believe it and take it to our hearts and become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom it speaks. In his name, amen. Does Jude lose it slightly? Ever asked yourself that question? Of course you haven't. You're far too well behaved, far too well trained. But look at the extreme language Jude uses in these verses. He goes a bit over the top, doesn't he? Come on, Jude. Calm down. Surely, whatever's got you so worked up can't be that important, can it? I went to see Atonement this week with Becca. I don't know if you've read Ian McEwan's novel or seen the film. Without spoiling it for you too much, I hope, a young girl called Bryony Tallis tells a lie as a young 13-year-old. She has no idea that this lie will cause so much pain to the people concerned. By the age of 18, she's understood. She desperately wants to atone for her sin. She desperately wants forgiveness. And in fact, she spends the whole of her life looking for this atonement. She spends the whole of her life looking for forgiveness. The reality is, we're all like Bryony Tallis. We've all lied. It's just that by God's grace, our lying hasn't always caused major repercussions. We've all broken the other 9 commandments, at least in our minds. Jesus said you only have to look at someone lustfully to commit adultery with them in your heart. You only have to be angry with someone to commit murder in your heart. Why is Jude so worked up? Why does he use such extreme language? I'll tell you why. Because if you change the gospel, there is no atonement for sin. There's no forgiveness. We go through life carrying a weight of guilt, whether we admit it or not. And one day, we will stand before God and be judged. And if we are unforgiven, we will be sent to hell for all eternity. That's why Jude is so worked up. False teachers, false prophets have come into the church and are leading the church astray. They're leading the believers away from the gospel into a spiritual wasteland, which may seem attractive at first, but which is actually no gospel at all. It doesn't deal with your sin. It doesn't put you right with God. Now, a quick reminder of what we learned last week. Jude is a brother of James. James, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, which makes Jude a half-blood brother of the Lord Jesus himself. But Jude makes nothing of this and humbly describes himself not as a brother of the Lord Jesus, but as a servant of the Lord Jesus. Jude tells us he was planning to write a friendship letter to the church, but because of the false teaching in the church, he has to write instead a blunt warning, condemning the false teachers, contending for the faith once for all entrusted to the saints. Today then, let's look at these verses, and I've got three headings. They're on your sheet. False teaching leads to destruction, verses 8 to 10. Three examples from history, verse 11, and then Jude gets all poetic, verses 12 and 13. Firstly then, false teaching leads to destruction, verses 8 to 10, verse 8. In the very same way, in the same way as Sodom and Gomorrah, in verse 7. These dreamers, the English Standard Version has, relying on their dreams. You can see what was going on. These false teachers claim to have had dreams. Dreams which contain within them false teaching. It sounded very convincing. Jesus appeared to me in a dream. And do you know what Jesus said to me? He said, there's no need to bother with all this holiness. I love you despite your sin. I forgive your sin. So go on. Enjoy yourselves. That was the content of their teaching. Verse 8. These dreamers pollute their own bodies. Probably, this was a very early form of a famous heresy called Gnosticism. And one of the things the Gnostics believed was that the body is nothing. The mind and the spirit are important. But the body is nothing. Therefore, as long as you're supposedly spiritual, it doesn't matter what you do with your body. So they polluted their bodies. Just as we today often pollute our bodies with too much food, too much alcohol, illicit drugs, illicit sex. Our society would enjoy Gnosticism. Our society agrees with them that it's good to be spiritual. All kinds of spiritualities are in fashion today. But please don't tell me I can't have sex outside of marriage. These dreamers are polluting their bodies. They reject authority. They're saying, well, we know Paul is an apostle. We know Peter is an apostle. We know the apostles are supposed to speak for Jesus. We know the apostles are the authority. But you know what? We're just going to reject that authority. We're just going to do our own thing. I'm going to do what makes me feel good. Ever thought like that? I'm going to do what makes me feel good. And all the time, God says, I have set up an authority. The apostles' teaching, the Bible, the Word of God. Here is our authority. This is what we must obey. Now then, what are you going to do with this authority? These men reject authority. What about you? Will you obey the Bible or reject the Bible? Not only this, these false teachers slander celestial beings. Why does this matter? Answer, angels, celestial beings, are to be respected because, like the apostles, angels speak for God. They're God's messengers, as well as being God's warriors. See, these false teachers just have no respect for God's word, God's apostles, God's messengers, God's angels. By contrast, verse 9, the archangel Michael would not even slander the devil. There was an elder in my old church, he was here yesterday. He's the nicest man imaginable. He really is. Think of the kindliest old grandfather, and then add meekness. And it was said of him by one of the other elders, in jest, he'd even give the devil the benefit of the doubt. He was just such a nice person. He always thought the best of people. Well, the archangel Michael is a bit like this, it would seem. Now, the story in verse 9 is taken from the apocryphal book called The Testimony of Moses. It's not part of the Bible. At the Reformation, the Protestant reformers rejected the Apocrypha from the Bible. Also, the Apocrypha was not part of the early church's Bible. But Jude quotes from two apocryphal books, The Testimony of Moses and 1 Enoch. This doesn't mean Jude thought the Apocrypha was scripture. It just means he was using stories which his readers would know as illustrations, just as I used the film Atonement as an illustration. Doesn't mean I think the film is part of the Bible. I'm just using an illustration. That's the way Jude uses the Apocrypha, I think, just as an illustration. And the illustration in verse 9 is of Michael disputing with the devil over who would keep the dead body of Moses. This did not happen, of course. God has no need to fight over a dead body. The spirit of the believer goes straight into the presence of God. God will give us a new body when Jesus comes again. There's no possibility that God ever fought the devil over the body of Moses. However, Jude's point is that in this story, Michael will not even slander the devil. He says, the Lord rebuke you. By contrast, these false teachers are more than happy to slander angels. Verse 10, these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand. That's a very unintelligent attitude, isn't it? I don't understand something, so I'm going to rubbish it. Personally, I don't understand physics. I haven't got a clue. But I wouldn't rubbish a physicist. I hope I'd be humble, even deferential, because a physicist has a body of knowledge I don't possess. That's how you should come to the Bible. I don't understand all this, but I have the greatest respect for this body of knowledge. And then it's my job, together with the elders, to teach you what you don't understand. But these false teachers are like unreasoning animals. What are animals like? They act entirely on instinct. There are no books for dogs to read, no canine intellectuals, no doctoral theses have been written on how to get on with your owner. There are no highbrow programs on Radio 4 discussing dog culture. Dogs act on instinct. In the same way, these false teachers who reject God's word are ruled entirely by instinct. It feels good to them to be sexually promiscuous. Therefore, they follow their instinct. These things which they do by instinct, verse 10, these are the very things that destroy them. We can all understand this. Sexual immorality destroys us. Sexually transmitted infections, broken hearts, aborted pregnancies. It's the same with drink and drugs. We abuse these things by instinct because they make us feel good. But ultimately, these things destroy us. And so we could go on. False teaching leads to destruction. Secondly, three examples from history. Verse 11. Jude is obviously a preacher because he loves to think in threes. I'm sure you've noticed how often preachers have 3 points. It's a classic rhetorical device. And in verse 11, for the second time, Jude gives us three examples from history. Verse 11 begins, "Woe to them!" Suddenly, we're in the language of the Old Testament prophets. For example, Isaiah 3:11, "Woe to the wicked! Disaster is upon them. They will be paid back for what they've done." A classic woe statement in the Old Testament often included both a reference to judgment and the reason for the judgment. Jesus also makes famous woe speeches, like Matthew 23. What's the reason for the judgment? Well, example number one, they have taken the way of Cain. What does this mean? Well, Genesis 4, 1 to 16, Cain murdered his brother out of envy. Does Jude mean to accuse the false teachers of murder? It's possible, in the sense that the false teachers murder people's souls. However, the truth probably lies in Jewish tradition. In Jewish tradition, Cain became a classic example of the ungodly skeptic. In a famous paraphrase of the first 5 books of the Bible, called the Jerusalem Targum, Cain says, "There is no judgment, no judge, no future life, no reward will be given to the righteous, and no judgment will be imposed on the wicked." Jude may well have had this Jewish tradition in mind. Certainly, the false teachers he's attacking undermined the seriousness of sin and the reality of judgment. Secondly, Jude says, they have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. Balaam is famous in the Bible for his greed and for his donkey, but that's another sermon. In Numbers 22-24, Balak, king of Moab, desperate to halt a threatened Israelite invasion, tries to hire Balaam to curse Israel. Although Balaam eventually refuses to do this, he wavers long enough in his loyalty to the Lord to justify this view of him as greedy. Clearly then, one of the problems with these false teachers is that they're out to make money. Jude's third example, in verse 11, is they have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. This story is found in Numbers 16. Korah became insolent and rose up against Moses. He led 250 other prominent Israelites in rebellion against Moses' leadership. In response, God caused the earth to open up and swallow Korah and his followers. Numbers 16 also talks about judgment by fire, as does Psalm 106, which is talking about the same incident. Even in Moses' own lifetime, Korah became a warning sign, Numbers 26, to those who might be tempted to rebel against the Lord and his appointed leaders. The great truth Jude wants us to get hold of is that judgment fell on Korah, and judgment will fall on all false teachers. False teaching leads to destruction. Three examples from history. And now thirdly, Jude gets all poetic. Verses 12 and 13. Verse 12. These men are blemishes on your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm. The early church had a different approach to the Lord's Supper from us. We just have a tiny bit of bread and a tiny sip of wine. They had a whole meal, known as a love feast. It was a celebration of the love the church had for one another, and of course, of God's love for the church. However, only believers were meant to be there. That's the same for our communion service, isn't it? It's for believers. It's to express our communion, our fellowship with God and with one another. The Apostle Paul says that anyone who is not a believer eats and drinks judgment on himself. And that's what is going on here. These false teachers are masquerading as believers, and they stain the whole love feast. They stain the whole communion service. They're also, verse 12, shepherds who feed only themselves. The background to this is Ezekiel 34, where the leaders of Israel are condemned as shepherds who only take care of themselves. Christian leaders are called to be shepherds. Jesus is the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. We elders are his under-shepherds. We're to care for the flock, to feed the flock, to guide the flock, to lead the flock from the Word of God. Here is your spiritual food. Here is your guidance. Here is your leadership. That's why I'm teaching it to you right now. Pray for us as we seek to shepherd you. Pray that we will be servant shepherds, not selfish shepherds. And then submit to us. Now Jude gets even more poetic, verse 12. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. In other words, they don't deliver what they promise. They promise a great life, they deliver hell. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted. They're trees without fruit. Remember Matthew 7:16? By their fruit you will know them. In the context there, Jesus is talking about false teachers. Wolves in sheep clothing, he calls them. The fruit of their lives reveals who they really are. And Jude says these false teachers produce no fruit. They don't produce anything of any spiritual value. Not only this, verse 12, they are uprooted, twice dead. Now this is poetic language. Obviously you can't be twice dead. If you're dead once, that's dead enough. We can't be absolutely sure what Jude means by this kind of poetic language. Perhaps he's referring to their being dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:1. The Bible says, if you're not a Christian, you're spiritually dead. There's no spiritual life in you. You can't hear God's voice in the scriptures. You can't pray, and so on. You're spiritually dead. By twice dead, he may well be thinking of the second death of Revelation 2:11. The second death in Revelation is the final judgment of God. You've already died. But then there comes the moment of judgment when you're cast into hell. That's the second death. Back in verse 12, these false teachers are uprooted. That reminds us of Jesus' parable of the fig tree, which would not bear fruit. Jesus' condemnation of unbelieving Israel. Jude concludes this poetic section in verse 13. They're like wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. One thing I do miss about South Wales is the sea. Don't get me wrong, I'm very happy to be here, very glad to be here. But the thing about the sea is, it's always fascinating. It's lovely on a warm summer's day when it's like a mill pond. It's also thrilling on a wild day. Then the sea is awe-inspiring, dangerous. That's why in the ancient world, the sea was a picture of chaos, even of evil. Isaiah 57:20, but the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. Here's the destructive force of the sea, the sea which destroys life when ships are wrecked. These false teachers foam up their shame. You've seen this. I know you live a long way from the sea. We all live a long way from the sea. I live a long way from the sea. But you've seen this. The waves on the beach leaving behind residue, even rubbish, if there have been a lot of people on the beach that day. So these false teachers foam up their sinful deeds. The final poetic metaphor Jude uses is wandering stars, verse 13. In the ancient world, the stars were symbols of order and regularity. A wandering star was a shocking and disturbing thing. They'd probably seen a meteor or a planet. in Jewish tradition, for example in 1 Enoch, stars or planets which move are attributed to the power of demons. So it was a strong condemnation to be described as a wandering star. It was to say you're demonic. Finally, these false teachers are those for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. This is clearly poetic language for hell. That's where these false teachers are heading. False teaching leads to destruction. We've seen three warnings from history. We've read Jude's poetic language. Question is, what will you do with this warning? There is only one gospel, only one way to be saved from hell. And it's this: Jesus Christ, God become man, paid for sin when he died on the cross. If you want to be forgiven, if you want atonement, if you want to be right with God, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to be saved from hell, you must come to Jesus Christ. You must say, Jesus Christ, I believe you are God. I believe you died for my sin. Please save me. Please be my Lord and Master. Please rule over every area of my life. Have you ever come to Jesus Christ like that? If not, do it today. And if you are a Christian, stand up to false teaching. Jude says, blackest darkness is reserved for false teachers. So stand up to them. Don't listen to them. Don't go to the conference which has moved away from the gospel. Don't buy that teacher's book. Don't watch their television program. And positively, make sure you are getting good teaching. Come to church. Join a home group. Are you in a home group? Read the Bible on your own, day by day. Use good Bible study notes, and we can help you to find some. There is only one gospel, only one means of atonement. So don't move from it. Let's pray. Father, we've seen how false teachers came into the church to which Jude writes. And Lord, in our own day, the church in this country has been ruined in so many places by preachers who no longer taught your word, by those who've preached a different gospel. Lord, give us great discernment as a church. Please, would no one from this church go and listen to a false teacher? Please, would no one from this church read the book or watch the television program of a false teacher? Give us that gift of discernment, Father, to know truth from error. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who's never been saved, never come to Christ, save them this morning, we pray. Grant them to trust in Christ. And for all of us, keep us near the cross. Keep us loving Jesus. Keep us thankful to Jesus. keep us following Jesus more and more closely, day by day. In his name, amen.